We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. And you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. It's a Falcons Monday. The Falcons play tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A little Monday Night Football. Fifth time this year the Falcons have played a night game, and they play tonight in what is a must-win situation for the Atlanta Falcons. Everything is a must-win for the Atlanta Falcons, and welcome to it. Morning to you. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Went to see Star Wars this weekend.
Yeah, so did I.
What did you think?
What did I think?
Did you see it yet?
John, I have not seen a Star Wars, so that the answer to that would be no.
What did you think, Hugh?
Honestly, John, I think they could have cut an hour of that movie out.
No kidding. It was long.
Yeah, they could have cut an hour of that out, man. I think they missed... I think what happened was, because we were all big Star Wars fans, that we were so excited about this movie, we gave it a pass. I didn't think it was all that. I really didn't. I thought they missed on a whole lot of stuff. I really did. It was not. It was something that I know Grant was big on it, and probably me and Grant are probably going to get into it about this. I didn't think it was that good. I really didn't. Not for the hype that they gave us and all of that. Nah, they kind of played us with that one. Because they missed the mark on a lot of things. I understand that, you know, Grant's big into character development, all that other stuff. They could have did without a whole lot of things they did in that movie. I think so.
You know what? I agree with that. I thought it was sat there going, man, this movie, you know, it was so long that it was, because it's nearly 3 hours long, that, you know, it was like, oh, we have to, it felt like to me like they had to try to make an epic, you know?
It was like, again, it was some parts they could have left out. It was definitely some parts they could have left out, and it was. Oh, I wish a lot of people saw it. So, because it was a couple scenes, like, they missed on so much. It missed on so much.
Yeah. I don't want to give any spoilers away either.
Yeah, me neither.
But,
because I was so excited to see it, I was excited when I walked in the movie theater, and the way it started, you're like, yeah. Then all of a sudden, it was like, okay. Then it was like, yeah. Then it was like, is that? Then it left me thinking, like, boy, they missed the mark on a lot of different things.
My daughter walked out of the theater with me, and she said, "Boy, it seems like they left this open for a sequel."
Was that her first time ever going to a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, honey, this is number 8. And it would be number 9. And
yeah, she, bless her, bless her little heart. That's what you're saying, listen, bless her little heart, bless her little heart.
She's like, they left it open for a sequel. Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm not going to sit here and dog it. It's not the best Star Wars film. It's not the worst. I was not a fan of, like, when they went back and did number 1. There's no, well, I was going to say there's no annoying character like Jar Jar Binks, but they're, it's, you know what? They tried too hard to be funny and cute. That was the other problem I had with it. There was so much of an attempt to be cute and to be funny, you know, and you know, they were trying too hard.
They had some jokes that kind of they could have left out. I definitely do believe that. It was but if you liked it, if somebody liked it and they really enjoyed it, hey, God bless your little heart as well. But I just didn't. I wasn't. They could have did more with that.
It is a Falcons Monday tonight. The Falcons take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Our coverage begins at 4:30 with the Wade Ford kickoff show, Wade Ford tailgate show. Of course, man to my left, Hugh Douglas, Knox Bardeen, Stan Norfleet, and Andy Bunker. And that'll lead us to the pregame show at 6:30 with Mike Conney and Randy McMichael and the call of the game an 8:30 kick from Tampa, Florida tonight with Wes, Dave, and John Michaels. We'll talk live with Dave Archer from Tampa at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. He'll join us, and we'll get Dave's thoughts as they are down in Tampa. And Squid's down in Tampa as well. Morning to you, Daryl. Morning to you, Wendy. It's 1 week from Christmas. Are you guys ready?
What? Yes.
Everybody out there, 1 week warning. 1 week. A week from today is Christmas. And you know what? A week from today is Christmas, and by the time Christmas comes a week from today, the Falcons will have played two more games. Tonight against Tampa and Sunday against New Orleans. So we got two games. Yep, two games between now and Christmas. So if you're ready for that, now understand the lay of the land today, okay, with the Falcons as we begin this coverage of the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yesterday, Hugh Douglas, without getting into great detail because we have plenty of time during the show to get into detail, the five teams in front of the Falcons, all five teams in front of the Falcons, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Rams, the Saints, the Panthers, all 5-1.
Yeah, the Rams beat the brakes off the Seattle Seahawks.
It was fantastic.
Beat the brakes off of them. I kind of called that one. A lot of people felt that Seattle was going to, you know, beat the Rams. The Rams came out and they played extremely well.
Yeah, they played great. I mean, Todd Gurley had four touchdowns. I mean, the Rams just – and the Seahawks, by the way, are on the edge of meltdown because if you remember last week they had the thing with – the Jacksonville Jaguars, where Michael Bennett rolled up on the center, and then you had, you know, Jefferson nearly go in the stands, and they were throwing Quentin Jefferson, and they were throwing things at him, and now you've got Earl Thomas, and he's fighting against you know his star against Bobby Wagner
because frustration,
because Wagner can't run. There was the one touchdown run at the end of the first half by Todd Gurley. Bobby Wagner simply can't run. He's out there trying to play, and he got a hamstring. He can't run at all, and so there's a lot of frustration with the Seattle Seahawks, and they're in fighting right now. So just, yeah, kind of looking broadly at the lay of the land. The Falcons are 8-5, and they play Tampa tonight. You have three teams behind them, Detroit, Seattle, and Dallas, all 8-6, of which you own the tiebreaker of overall those. Green Bay 7-7, but Green Bay, by the way, Green Bay lost to the Panthers yesterday. Green Bay will be eliminated if the Falcons win tonight, so Green Bay will be out.
In order for the Green Bay Packers to get in, they need the Falcons to lose out.
Mm-hmm.
They need to lose out. The Falcons need to lose out in order for the Packers to get in. So that's not going to happen for the Packers. That's definitely not going to happen for the Packers.
So you got Detroit, Seattle. So the Falcons' chances of making the playoffs are good, but if they win tonight, they become extremely good. But, you know, I still want them, again, you want to try and win the division. If the playoffs started today, you'd have to go to L.A. and face that Rams team. Man, that Rams team, I don't know that I was prepared for what I was seeing yesterday.
I'm still not afraid of the Rams. I think that, you know, for one, you know, that the Rams played the Seattle, they're in the same division, and they beat each other up. And familiarity breeds contempt. So they got bad blood between them. I think it was a little bit of that. I'm still not afraid of the Rams, though. Not afraid of them like that. Todd Gurley is one heck of a running back. There's no question about that. And he would be, for the Falcons, he would be a guy, he would be a running back in which the likes they haven't seen this year. I think the one guy that you could compare him to is Ezekiel Elliott, but they didn't play against him.
Uh-huh.
So he would be a load, no question about it, but they don't. I'm not afraid of the Rams.
But that defense, Donald and Quinn?
Oh, yeah, still not afraid of the Rams. With all that talent they have on that side of the ball, not afraid of them.
Hey, I sent out a tweet last night, and I just wanted to ask this. This also goes that, you know, the wild ending of the Patriots-Steelers game that the Patriots won 27-24, where Ben Roethlisberger, for some reason, unbeknownst to man, with no timeouts, is faking a spike. When you need a field goal and you're 12 yards away, he's faking a spike and throwing a slant to the only into triple coverage for an intercept. I don't know why. It was a terrible play.
They were trying to they were trying not to go into overtime with that team.
Man. So I have – this is a tweet I sent out, right? So I have this straight. If you establish possession and break the plane of the goal line, it's a touchdown unless you catch it. Then you need to maintain control through the postgame locker room interview. That about it?
That sounds about right. That's crazy. That's crazy how that rule is working.
They just need to figure it out. Because if that were a running back in that position and he had crossed the plane of the goal line, it would be no question that that was a touchdown.
Yeah, he
clearly had the ball in his hands and was turning to hit the goal line. He had crossed the plane. So they really just need to figure out what a catch is at this point. Because it's one of life's greatest mysteries.
As rough as that is, that it made when it was explained to me, it made sense. It's just unfortunate that it wasn't a running play. That's the unfortunate thing.
That is unfortunate.
About it.
And unfortunate again for the Steelers after that happened. Ben Roethlisberger makes a terrible decision in the end zone instead of throwing the ball away and kicking the field goal to send it into overtime.
He could have thrown the ball. It was only second down. I mean, you could have thrown the ball away and still.
Well, they were running out of time. They would have had to. They would have, because they were out of timeouts at that point. They would have, after that play, throw it away, kick the field goal, send it into overtime, and play from there.
That's one of those decisions that they made that's probably going to haunt them forever. You know, because you know you get at least you get another chance. You get life. Kick that field goal, tie it up. You got a chance. And for them not to do that, I mean, let's just go back. If you make that play, if the ball isn't bobbled, we're not even having this conversation today. We're talking about one of the greatest games that have been played in the NFL this year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, you're in that moment and you're trying to make a play and the receiver, it deflects off the receiver's shoulder pads and it's an interception.
Well, here's it goes to the larger problem. The NFL has not, you know, the NFL is beset by a number of issues. We all understand that. But the NFL still has not determined or at least made clear to the public, even though they say that in their rule book it's clear, what a catch is. I mean, we had Austin Seferian Jenkins. Remember that play earlier this year with the Jets against the Patriots where he had the ball, he caught it, kind of lost it a little bit, and then fell out of the end zone after he reclaimed it? They said that was a touchback and not a touchdown. We had the Zach Miller where he busted his leg up against the Saints, which was obviously – he's sitting in the end zone holding the ball, and then because he's in such pain, he sets the ball down, and they go, oh, well, that's incomplete. What? I don't know what a fumble is from Matt Ryan against Buffalo. That's the one of the big problems I think the NFL is playing in the NFL. We don't know what the rules are, Hugh. What are the rules?
I understand that rule. I understand. When it was explained to me, I understand that the receiver has to have possession all the way through the end of the play. I get it. I don't like it. I don't like it because it was such a pivotal call that it changed the outcome of the game. But the refs did their job in that situation. I know a lot of Pittsburgh fans are hot behind that because that was a good game. But rules are the rules. And I think that even though I didn't like it, the refs got it right.
I'm not so much mad at the refs. I think the refs, I agree, may have gotten it right. I think the rule is ridiculous because we don't really know what the rule is. I mean, it takes 10 minutes for the refs to figure out what the rule is. Falcons play tonight. Very latest on an update as they get ready to take on Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Matt Bosher is off to a very good season as the punter.
Hi, this is Matt Bosher, punter for the Atlanta Falcons. This is where the Atlanta Falcons play. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday live from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh as we get ready for NFL football tonight, Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Falcons in a near must win at 8-5 after everybody in front of them won on Sunday. All five teams in front of them won on Sunday. Win tonight, and we can say this definitively, that if the Falcons win two of their final three in any order, they're going to be in the playoffs. But you know what? If you win tonight, that means you can split the final two. But again, you really kind of want to win out at this point because you want to win the division. And if the Falcons do win out, they will be division champions. Now, that's a tall order considering how well the Saints of Carolina are playing. Going into this game tonight, the Falcons will be without Tevin Coleman, Hugh. They'll be without Andy LaVitre. Both have been ruled out. It sounds like Adrian Claiborne is going to be severely limited because of his hamstring injury. But the other side, the Tampa Bay side, is not good. Gerald McCoy out with a biceps injury. Levante David out with a hamstring. And Vernon Hargreaves, of course, he's been out for quite a bit this year, out again with a hamstring. But that's your key playmaker at every level of defense.
Yeah, but they're still going to come out ready to fight. I mean, I understand that, you know, you got some big-time names out there, but it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, during this rivalry that – you know, everybody throw, like Coach said, you throw the record out the window. You mm-hmm. throw the record out the window, and you just go out there and you just handle your business. I mean, because this is going to be a knockdown, dragout. Last few games of the season, you got three left, including one tonight, so it's going to be a knockdown, dragout.
Last time these two teams met, Julio Jones lit Tampa on fire. 253 yards and two touchdowns, plus he had that 15-yard reverse run. I mean, he was all over the field. Now, will he do so again tonight? The CW 69 pregame show tonight, before the game has an at-length interview with Julio, and they have been kind enough to share a couple of cuts of an interview that we've done. It was done by Dave Archer with Julio Jones, and we have those cuts. We're going to play them for you. The first is Julio talking about how he's reached kind of peak Julio and the time is now.
I evaluate myself like I went up to this point and what can I do better now? You know, people look at, oh, you're playing good, this and that, but you can't worry about everybody else. You got to evaluate yourself and talk to yourself like, okay, what can I do to do this better, do that better? If it's eating a little better, if it's getting 30 more minutes of sleep, or if it's drinking two more Gatorades or water, or whatever it is to, you know, push you over, you feel like you've done everything that you can possibly do to play better. And like for me, that's what I do. Like now, it's like, okay, can I sleep a little longer? Can I drink more, you know, Gatorade? And like when I get up here, be more attentive in meetings, things like that. Like, cause now like you don't want to get in meetings and like you know the game plan, you know all the plays we got, and it's like, oh, I already know this, I'm good. You know, you gotta be in there acting like you know it's your first time hearing it. This what, you know, separates you from, you know, regular season, postseason, things like that. Like that's when I was telling you the other day, it's like, it's time to go.
It is time to go. With Antonio Brown's injury, which may it's going to sideline him for the season. Torn calf, yeah. Julio may end up the leading receiver in terms of yards in the NFL again this year. He's having another really solid year, but, you know, it is so interesting with Julio to me in one respect. He had the drop at Carolina where he was open. Boy, I mean, you look back on that, Hugh, and you think about how devastating that might be to the Falcons' chances here. But he only has 3 touchdowns this year. He doesn't seem to get into the end zone a lot for somebody who puts up his big numbers.
Yeah, that's because a lot of teams respect his ability. They're not going to let Julio Jones beat you. I mean, that's the bottom line, John. I mean, and that's the thing that I noticed from a lot of the games. I know at one point during the season, he was one of the leading vote getters at the receiver position. And then all of a sudden that changed, I think, in the last couple of weeks. But to me, that said that a lot of teams respected him. That said that a lot of players respected him and his ability. And I think that's the most important thing that you take away from what he brings to the table. Now, as a person who really probably didn't watch a whole lot of football, somebody that's out there that doesn't, they'll look at that, they'll look at the stat line and say, oh, he only has 3 touchdowns. But his contribution to the game and the way that he changes the game plan for the Atlanta Falcons, that's huge. And that's why I think he was one of the leading vote getters at that time, because a lot of people respect what he brought to the table.
Mm-hmm. And his status as a star continues to climb, too. You know, they had the whole Trick Montalban thing. But he is now being featured. YouTube is using Julio quite a bit. I believe Visa is using him as well. And he's getting a chance to have, you know, that other part of what makes him a star, the celebrity part, come out. And he talked a little bit about what it's like for him to try to balance football and try to balance that other part.
When I have the time to do it, I don't mind doing it. It's like we was talking earlier, I have a lot of opportunities to do things, but I never have the time to do them. You know, my thing is to be the best football player I can possibly be. When I have time to do it, I'll do it. You know, I shot a couple of them, a Visa and a YouTube commercial I shot on my bye week. I wasn't doing anything. I was here relaxing. Come on, you know, and I'm always on YouTube, you know, Visa. Got Visa card, so it's like everything was good.
I got a Visa card. Yeah, everything is good. And his celebrity goes up. But what we want to see, of course, is Julio light it up too. Again, you can hear the full interview with Dave Archer on the pregame show on the CW69 tonight before the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, it's going to be interesting here for this receiving corps, because one of the keys that I have is one thing we haven't seen this year that we saw last year. And this is I'm not singling him out, is we haven't had a good dose of Taylor Gabriel as much as we did last year.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is because when you look at it, John, the quarterback doesn't have the time to scan the field like he had in the past. I think a lot of that has to do with Coach Sarkisian getting to learn his players a little bit better. And, you know, it's a whole bunch of other things. It is. And it's frustrating for a lot of Falcons fans out there, because you look at this offense last year and what the numbers they were able to put up, and this year it seems like they're struggling a little bit. They're scratching their head wondering what's going on. But I think the good thing about this is that this defense is starting to emerge and starting to become better. even in a year where you have a new defensive coordinator, they're making huge strides. And I think that next year, and I know a lot of people probably want to hear this because we're into this year, but it's going to be a lot better because now you have an offensive coordinator and Coach Sarkisian who's been here for a while. He has a little bit more familiarity with the players that he has on his squad. And, you know, just that having that year under his belt and going back and just reevaluating some of the things that he did and looking at some of the things that he needs to do better. But we're in the throes of this season right now. So, you know, that's something that you can look forward to in the future. But right now, I think that the good thing that you have going for you is that this defense is starting to emerge and become stingy.
Yeah, I totally agree that the defense has emerged. There's no question that it has gone to a level we haven't seen around here in a long time. Having said that, I mean, you have to ask yourself two questions. One, can this offense just flip a light switch and be that 35-point-a-game offense? And if the answer to that is yes, then the second question becomes, will they? Because if they can, Hugh, and if they do, given the rise of the defense, the Falcons, you know what? We're in the throes of a season that could actually turn out to be pretty special.
I think that for us to ask this offense to be what they were last year, this late in the season, I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen, but realistically, it probably won't. You know, I mean, and the only reason I say it that way is because you never know what could happen to the Indianapolis Colts defense going into the season. You know, going into the playoffs, they were one of the worst defenses in the league the year they won the football. I mean, won the Super Bowl. And when Bob Sanders came back, they were better. That was one person that helped make that defense better. In this situation, you have all the major players playing. So probably maybe somebody say Tevin Coleman, but he will be back for the playoffs. So I don't think so. I think that this offense this year is what it is, and we just have to deal with that. I think that you really have to look at this defense this year as the one that's going to carry you to that next level, if that's going to be the case. If you're getting back to the bowl, it's going to be on that defense.
Right, and so it begins tonight here. And I will say this. I mean, if you look at Nick Foles threw 4 touchdowns yesterday and the Eagles beat the Giants, but they gave up 500 yards. Yeah, the Vikings won big, but they were playing, of course, they were playing a Bengals team that, you know, all but given up. And so the Rams won big against the Seattle team that's infighting. And as you say, Hugh, you're not worried about the Rams. They still don't scare you yet. I would think that if you're at the top of the NFC and you're the Eagles, the Vikings, or the Rams, even though the Vikings won down here, if you start looking down there, those three teams in the NFC South, they all scare you because they are potentially – I continue to be surprised by the Panthers. To me, the Saints and especially the Falcons, if the Falcons offense, if it kicks into gear tonight, if the Falcons offense kicks into gear tonight in Tampa and they put 40 on the board, they're going to be a lot of people around the NFC going, uh-oh. You know, watch out.
John, I understand that's your fandom kicking in right now. I mean, at this point, when you look at the teams that the Falcons are chasing, the Falcons all season long have been a team that we here in Atlanta have been trying to figure out. We don't know what they're going to be. We've been saying for the last few weeks that this Atlanta Falcons team, we hope they show up this week. Well, we hope the offense shows up this week. Oh, well, they're here. Oh, no, they're not here. The teams ahead of you, they've kind of been who they've been all season long. Now, you talk about this Atlanta team. Yeah, they potentially could be a scary team, but those two in front of you, those are the ones that have the most consistency. So it's like going into a game, say, for instance, if we're in the playoffs, going into a game against Atlanta Falcons, my biggest concern would be, okay, who's going to show up today? It's not, I mean, let's just be honest. Who's going to show up today? I mean, are they going to be the scary Atlanta Falcons where the offense is clicking and that defense is humming? Or is it going to be that offensive? Is it going to be that Atlanta Falcons offense that's having trouble scoring? I mean, that's what we're looking at. I'm just here. Hate to burst your bubble, dog, but I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm just trying to speak. What is it? Speak it into existence.
I mean, I hear you, but I'm just here to, you know, I'm just adding a little bit of reality to that situation.
Today's a Falcons Monday. We'll tell you what else today is as we continue on this Falcons Monday from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rise up for the Brotherhood.
Yeah!
Tonight.
Falcons, Buccaneers.
Kickoff at 8:30. Our Atlanta Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Falcons Monday from the Kia Studios. All right, Wendy Adams, help me out here. It's got a good drive and beat. Got to say I like it. Today is 1 week from Christmas. This is
Stone Cold Steve Austin's birthday. So this is Stone Cold Steve Austin's entrance music when he comes out into the ring. He turns 53 years old today.
Bo Morgan, Squid Billy needs entrance music. You know what I mean? He needs like entrance music into the show. That would be kind of cool.
We all don't work on the show.
I just realized we all need entrance.
You know,
music.
You kind of like infatuated and fascinated by Bo a little bit. It sounds a little bit.
He is.
You kind of brought him up, and he was in nobody's mind.
Right.
Hi, Bo. What would be your?
Hi, Bo.
What's your entrance music?
Your
Bo?
Entrance music, Bo. Since you get entrance music.
I don't know. It's interesting. I do have a clip, though, of Michael Buffer saying my name or saying the name Squidbilly and saying, let's get ready to hear from Squidbilly. So maybe I can bring that back, and Michael Buffer will just be my
good morning.
Good morning.
He may trademark that, though, Bo, so yeah. You have to be careful.
Right,
But you know what? No. Me and Michael Buffer are on an agreement. He gave that to me. He did not charge me for it, and it's actually pretty cool. I'm probably the only one on the show that has that, but you know, I'm on no one's mind to you, so it's okay.
Well, you know, I can actually create music for all of us, so we're all kind of cool, Bo. We love you though. Since John it's wants not, to give I you a theme song,
but John's the only one that sat right here and wanted to give you a theme song.
Like none of us work on the show.
But I guess that was a segue into bringing you into the show.
It's exactly what it was.
No, it wasn't. That was his love.
Well, the reason I want to bring Bo back into the show because he's in Tampa this morning.
Don't be jealous.
And
me and John got issues, but I love him.
I was bringing him in because here's why: because the Falcons flew out yesterday. Bo, were you at the airport when it went dark at 1 o'clock? Correct.
Apparently, I learned of the outage on the bus over to the airport from where we park. So apparently it happened pretty early. We could see the planes lined up. Now I don't go into the airport. We enter the plane from a tarmac and just get right on the plane where the bus drops us off. But you know, we saw the long line backing up. I was worried when we were going to take off, but then all of a sudden we start moving and I'm like, what are we going to go to the line? Well, we did go to the line. We went to the front of the line and took off promptly.
That's right.
And we're never delayed at any time. So thanks to Delta and all the people that make that happen for us, we were never delayed.
Oh, no, that flight, listen, let me tell you. Y'all flight was about to take, y'all flight taking off. If somebody had to be out there and guide y'all in, like with the little dude out there with the little, mm-hmm. the little batons.
And the Miami Heat got in okay last
night. They're going to make that happen. They're going to make that happen.
Because the Hawks play the Heat tonight, so the Heat had to fly.
I guess
because
I was thinking, you know, if suddenly you couldn't, I what would you do? Go to Chattanooga, go to Birmingham? I mean, bus to Birmingham and fly out or something like that? I don't know. You know, because the airport was shut. 1,600 flights were canceled. 1,600. And they just reopened it at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
they reopened at 3:30 this morning.
Well, all right, the power came back.
The power
back,
came on
back,
just before midnight right. last night.
So it was 12 hours without power, and then they opened it at 3:30. And by the way, if you're headed to the airport, you need to check because they're saying upwards of 400 flights canceled today as well. And it's not just – see, Hugh, it's not just Atlanta when that happens. It's down the line. It's everywhere because there were canceling flights up, coming back from Europe.
It messes up everything, John. I mean, yeah, that's obvious. But you know what? When I think of stuff like that, when the power goes out for that long period of time, I mean, you have to start thinking about how much money was lost from like refrigerating certain things that had to stay cold and things of that nature. I know it's not. You think about that, like 12 hours, 13 hours, the power was off, but still, some stuff, you know, it can't go above a certain temperature that you had to get rid of. So there's probably some inventory that was lost during that outage as well. Not only those flights and people having to be rescheduled, I'm pretty sure the hotels in that whole area made a killing as far as, you know, people having to stay that night. So it was an unfortunate time. It was unfortunate that all the power went out like it did because everybody's strapped.
But we do need to shout out Chick-fil-A because they opened. Dan Cathy opened Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, delivered over 5,000 meals to passengers around the
nice.
Airport. So food
Chick-fil-A
and water
doing it real
was
big.
Delivered. And they broke their rule and opened on a Sunday so that people could have something to eat.
Who is that? In your face, Darren Rovell.
Somewhere, Darren Rovell's.
I beat you to it, Bo, because I knew you,
you know,
was
his
going
head
there.
Is exploding.
Y'all are funny.
You know his head's exploding right now.
Hey, listen. That's the young Padawan, you see.
It wasn't even in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, though, y'all. Y'all stop.
Hey, you see the young Padawan.
But more than 400 flights have been canceled today already. So if you are heading to the airport, just make sure you call ahead of time or look online.
Or if you're picking somebody up that's flying in, you can check FlightAware. You can check the flight status online at your carrier as well.
But this apparently all started with a fire in the Georgia Power underground electrical facility. So not only did it take down the main power, it took down their redundant power, which would have been their backup power.
Which I'm surprised is in the same place. I'm surprised there isn't like a redundancy to the redundancy. Anyway, I'm just really surprised that this would happen to the Atlanta airport. Not something you would have thought, and the inconvenience is enormous to so many people, to hundreds of thousands of travelers.
The pictures are haunting.
And the pictures are haunting.
Could you imagine? I mean, if anything, I mean, when power is out, anything can happen.
Right.
You obviously can't see as well, and you're just lucky that people were orderly.
If I had had a flight yesterday, not only would I have been without power, I would have been at like E-48. You know what I mean?
No.
I would have been the last.
Had a long walk.
I would have been at the last concourse.
Oh, you're talking about the bad luck.
He'd have had a long walk to have to walk all the way back to the beginning.
Now I got you. Now I'm with you.
We are going to take you live to Tampa next. Dave Archer is going to join us. We'll talk Falcons and Buccaneers with Dave Archer live from Tampa. What he expects tonight as we continue on this Falcons Monday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.